The time is almost up. Thanks for listening to Big Band Broadway and Beyond. God bless, and if anybody asks, tell them Joe sent you.
Must we let it end?
This is WHFR Dearborn, and now it's time for our public affairs show, and we call it the new WHFR Journal. Always on time.
It's actually harder to get here
on time. Live mic. Hi. This is what radio people say when the microphone is on, and you might have heard Kevin and I in the background talking. That was my bad. I always tell the students here, I'm the station advisor. Jay Koronek is my name for WHFR.FM. And, do as I say, not as I do. So this is the time that they listen and they hear Koronek not always keeping up with what he tells them. But nonetheless, we're so excited. So excited to give you the local news with alternative views today here on the Journal for the next hour until 2 o'clock. And if you're listening today, you probably already know that today is Friday, July the 20th, 2012. If you're listening on the podcast, you might not be too sure. You just clicked on something and maybe it's the wrong week, so try again. But this is the show for the week beginning Friday, July 20th. Where is our podcast? If you want to listen again for any crazy reason or tell your friends about the show and they can't listen on Fridays from 1 to 2, it is at our website, whfr.fm. Click on the big button in the center of the first screen. It says Talk Shows, and then choose the WHFR Journal. And then, after you click on that, click on the date that you're interested in, because I think our shows go back several months, if not several years. Oh my gosh, what did I say 2 years ago? I don't want to remember, but it's there, pretty far back. Kevin, our WHFR news director, is in the studio with me, my co-host today. Kevin, say hello to the folks.
Hey, hello everybody. Sorry about the little miss up at the beginning.
That wasn't anything to apologize for. We have a beautiful day in Dearborn. Yes, it was super hot on Tuesday, of course. 102, somebody said, was the record temperature on Tuesday, at least record as far as I'm concerned.
I had 105 on my temperature out in the Waterford area.
Waterford is hot, yes. Yeah. It's all the lakes evaporated probably by that, with that. Of course, today is just lovely. Tuesday afternoon, the once-a-month Tuesday evening Dearborn Farm Market had to be canceled. And it was canceled at the last minute, but I think vendors said, it's obvious if we go to the trouble, and well, they probably didn't want to stand outside at 105 degree temperature, even with their little tents, but then all their fresh vegetables would wilt in 10 minutes, and it's supposed to be a 3-hour event. They never would have made it, unless everything was in coolers or something. So that was canceled. But today, let's start with the food truck rally that's happening this afternoon. So if you're desperate for fresh food and really gourmet food, at least they're usually known for gourmet food, food trucks are coming to Dearborn. They call it a food truck rally. Tell us about it.
Yeah, today the Dearborn Chamber of Commerce, in partnership with the West Downtown Development Authority and Michigan Mobile Food Vendors Association, is hosting the first of three such events in West Dearborn parking lot behind Pizzapopolis. The event will run from 5 to 9 p.m. and will bring nine vendors to the area and sell a variety of foods from mobile units, including ice cream, gourmet hot dogs, tacos, and more. Subsequent food truck rallies will be held in Dearborn on August 24th and September 21st. So don't miss it, folks. That's going to be a great thing to do.
So, Kevin, have you ever eaten from food trucks? Now, I have to say, at the outset, I talked to some people this week. You know, I visit Austin, Texas frequently. They're like food trucks for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, different trucks, different places all throughout the town. Heavily supported by the people of Austin. Just drive into this huge parking lot, and then the trucks are set up, and they're huge. They're not carts. They're big, fairly big trucks, like 30 feet long, 40 feet long, and they have the kitchen and all the supplies inside, and they just sort of fold up or raise up one whole side panel, and then they start serving food out of there. That's their, that, you know, you just walk up to the counter, get in line, and or start ordering food. And they're known in Austin, and I also discovered from another story nationally in Los Angeles, that this is like gourmet food, folks. I mean, you could, you know, you're sort of fighting for the food trucks to get in line and to get the really good stuff. Austin is even known for gourmet ice cream trucks late at night that people hunt out, oh, where is the so-and-so ice cream truck tonight? Sometimes they do change locations. Sometimes they're in the same one. And it is a sort of a ritual to go to the food trucks a couple times a week. And in this case, they're going to be all gathering, at least they say 10 to 12, in the same location. There were supposed to be a bunch of food trucks last weekend at Concert of Colors down at the Maxim Fisher Center. And
yeah,
I only
was.
Saw three at the High Point, though.
And one of them was not there on Sunday, that was there on Saturday.
Right.
But one of the vendors that was at Concert of Colors is going to be downtown in Dearborn, and that is the Jack's Taco Cart or Taco Truck.
Jack's Taco Truck or Cart, I've heard their name before. Apparently, according to the story from the Dearborn Chamber of Commerce, which is in all three papers this week, folks, it's in the Sunday Press and Guide, a story about this, and the Times Herald, and the Press and Guide from 2 days ago on the 18th. So you can check out the stories that we're talking about now here. But it's actually an association of food trucks in the Detroit area. So if you are a food truck vendor, obviously you have to be licensed. You have to get a health certificate. And I don't know if it's good for just Wayne County or, you know, probably every county has their own health certificate. I'm just guessing.
Imagine.
But this is not just, you know, an unlicensed, who knows what you're eating sort of operation. They have to follow health codes to do this. And they're an official organization of food trucks in this area. And let me just tell you that in these other places like Austin, I think they're trying to get this rep in this area. It's really gourmet quality food. And they mentioned in the article the food's going to cost from $4 to $7 an item.
Yeah, per
plate. Not too pricey. If you go to a classy restaurant, you know, per item, it's going to be that.
Or 20.
And of course, yeah, you might have to eat standing up or go back to your car with it. The parking lot they're using, you say, just north of Pizzapopolis, it's actually the northwest corner of Michigan Avenue and Monroe.
Monroe Street, yeah. That's right behind.
And Monroe is Dearborn Music, or at least the present location they're moving. But so that's sort of the signpost I would use. Pizzapopolis is only a small storefront off Michigan on the north side, but it is that lot. It's normally a paid lot, okay, paid parking, and it might still be. I don't know if they're letting parking in there or it's only going to be all food trucks. But there's paid parking around there, and if you want to park a street or two over, I'm sure the residents won't like it, but there's residential parking for free. Or south of Michigan Avenue, a block or so down, it's free, too. But maybe they'll allow limited parking like they do with the Bryant parking lot when the Dearborn Farmers and Artisans Market is there up to capacity. Like they share the lot with some parking spots for the Dearborn Farmers and Artisans Market, which is still going on, of course, every Friday morning. I'm sure they had a big turnout today and the weather was good. So, in fact, they've got a big picture from last Sunday of the farm market vendors, a lot of fresh veggies and corn in the picture I see there. J. Patrick Pepper, Boy, he's around taking a lot of pictures. He was down at Concert of Colors taking pictures, and yeah. Supposedly the Sunday's Pressing Guide, folks, is going to have more pictures that he took. I didn't see him including the WHFR tables, but maybe we'll be in one of his shots. I'm hoping for that.
That'd be nice.
If you're still choosing the shots, Tim Powers, maybe you could.
Yeah, boy, that was a fun event, that Concert of Colors. Yeah, we had a wonderful time.
We had a great. Hope you got a chance to hear it. We weren't able to present it as an archive. There are copyright issues and so on, but we had a great time broadcasting live for 8 or 9 hours on both Saturday and Sunday. So if you couldn't make it down, you could at least listen to it on WHFR and from one of the stages anyway.
And there's always next year.
Yep. So remember, what time today, Kevin, again, for the food truck rally in West Dearborn?
That goes from 5 p.m. till 9 p.m.
I wrote down 4 o'clock. Am I wrong?
The patch.
You're right.
Patch says 5 to 9. So.
Yep. I'm looking at my list here, 5 to 9. So I might make it myself. Oh, yeah. My God. It's after I can leave WHFR at about 7. So 5 to 9. It's going to be cooler. Sun's going down. I think sun sets at 9:15, but before the sun sets and the living dead come out, or the vampires or whatever it is, you can certainly make it to the food truck rally in West Dearborn and check out the high quality food from these vendors. You might say, well, why did the Chamber of Commerce do this too? Because it's only going to take away from the business of Pizzapopolis or other places in that area. Surveys say that's not the case. That getting more people into the area after they have a snack, a little bit of food, they stay around. They might wander over to Dearborn Music and look some, as long as they're parked already. Yeah, you know.
Or they might discover a new restaurant that they never noticed
they
before.
They might check some things out and have a bigger meal or a dessert somewhere else.
Or come back the following
exactly.
day.
Exactly. So according to the Dearborn Chamber of Commerce and other studies, the food trucks do not take away from business in the nearby area. Now, I have to say, in Austin, The parking lots they use are not necessarily too close to other areas. I mean, you have to cross a street or two, and I mean, there's big lots that they use in Austin, and so I don't know how that affects or whether it even affects the other businesses that you normally would go to. But once or twice a week, and if you have the food trucks around, you want to check that out. I will say Austin is really big for breakfast tacos. Almost everybody on their way driving into work, they'll scoot by a breakfast taco truck and then take it with them to the office.
Yeah, even in the Dearborn Patch article, Gehring explained, and she's quoted, we know for a fact that 700 people walked away from the event in Ferndale and went to other local businesses. So
right. It
draws people in.
They put GPS trackers on them, I guess, or something. I don't know how they
RFID chips.
Number one left and went to number two went to. I think it's like extra traffic. They counted the businesses, and the businesses said, well, yeah, we had like 10, 15 more people that
morning.
Yeah,
I don't know how they come up with that 700.
Right,
but,
I don't know. But it's, I always wonder about statistics, but I'm sure it's true. I'm sure that's true. If the food trucks are relatively close to an area, then it's got to be some spillover. Well, that sounds bad when you're talking about eating food, but there's got to be some additional business that's created. Okay, here's the big story as I see it for the week, and this is from back on Sunday. Remember, any opinions expressed on this show by Kevin and myself today are not necessarily those of anyone else here at Henry Ford Community College, not faculty, staff, or administration. But thank you very much, Henry Ford Community College, for letting us state these opinions. We try to be fair, and when I state opinions, I try to just expand the range of perspectives. And sometimes I will say which one is mine, too, but I try to clearly identify it. Congressman McCotter. Okay. Thaddeus McCotter, U.S. Representative from an area that's basically Dearborn Heights. Okay.
Livonia area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, he resigned about a month or so ago, and let me dip into the story by J. Patrick Pepper from last Sunday. Here's a quote from the elections people. I think it's in Dearborn Heights. Where does this quote come from here? McCotter said this. So he said, this past nightmarish month and a half, again, he was under investigation for several illegalities. They just kept building and, here we go. First of all, McCotter's nominating petitions for reelection to Congress, the state election officials found widespread fraud in those signatures. So for his reelection, which would have been this fall, He had a lot of signatures that were there falsely. So did that disqualify from him from being on the ballot? I don't know, but it's still a crime to submit a large number, certainly, of fraudulent signatures.
I believe he didn't even have enough to be on there. Even
okay.
with the fraudulent signatures,
right.
he was still a couple thousand short or something.
Right. So, okay, so he wouldn't have been on the ballot anyway, but he still has a term remaining until someone else is elected in November. His term probably continued officially until January, but there's a problem with the gerrymandering, and the districts actually change boundaries before then. And I'll read you about that just so you understand what's going on here. By the way, Thaddeus McConner also, was trying to be a Republican presidential candidate, but that never got going. That was about 8 months ago, last year sometime, he started announcing he'd like to run, and I don't even know if he was in any of the televised debates. I don't think so, but he was trying, and that didn't work out for him for one reason or another. But then this year, there was the fraudulent signatures, and then the Detroit News published an unflattering story revealing that McCotter, known for his sardonic sense of humor and Bartlett-like ability to recite famous quotes, Bartlett's Quotations, it's a big reference book, by the way, folks. Bartlett-like means, you know, he has this mini encyclopedia, one-volume encyclopedia of knowledge about famous quotes. Anyway, he pitched a raunchy TV pilot. That means he suggested this proposal for a very sexy slash maybe dirty somehow TV pilot. Of course, there's so many sexy slash dirty TV shows, a lot of reality TV shows, including even ABC's Bachelorette is kind of raunchy, dirty. And, yeah, I don't think I'm a Puritan, but I'm certainly, and I'm not prudish, but yeah, I don't like that kind of stuff. Let's see, the big one is, of course, what is it called, Jersey Shore, that's on MTV with Snooki and friends.
Yeah.
Just about recommending every kind of bad behavior, irresponsible behavior in the world. And she's pregnant now, and because she's pregnant, well, she was on Jimmy Kimmel Live last night. I didn't stay up for that, but I'm just saying, wow, let's get famous for being that kind of irresponsible, dirty-minded person. She's not married, folks. I don't care about that, but the stuff she says and the stuff she does, it got her famous, sort of.
There's a bunch of other shows on that channel.
I don't want to. I'm sorry, even mention her name, and like I give more. celebrity to her or controversy because I mentioned her name on the journal as if anybody's listening to the show. I know somebody is. I know you are. There's one person out there. Okay. Anyway, he pitched to somebody a raunchy TV pilot show. Supposedly they had a lot of jokes about flatulence, anatomy. I love anatomy. Where would we be without it? You know. And other lowbrow fare. Well, his quote is, "This past nightmarish month and a half has for the first time severed the necessary harmony between the needs of my constituency," pretty much Dearborn Heights, "and of my family. As this harmony is required to serve," well, I'm reading it directly, folks, doesn't make sense, "its absence requires I leave."
That did not make sense.
So he needs a harmony in order to serve his constituents. So if they're all mad at him, I guess he can't listen to them anymore? I don't know. He's not responded to, and I'm continuing on page 4 of the Press and Guide here, email request for a comment on that. So he resigned, and while the 5-term congressman leaves behind him his personal quote-unquote nightmare, he has created one for election officials across the state of Michigan. With the redrawing of congressional districts that's set to take effect in January 2013, the winner of the special election, you see, and this is the problem, folks. By state law, you have to have a special election to replace someone, whatever the point of his term is, if he resigns or if he dies, okay? And they can't automatically go to the next person or the person he ran against on the ballot. There has to be a whole new election. And the last time I checked, this is going to cost, and it says in the story here, it's going to cost the state of Michigan and or Dearborn Heights, $650,000. That's almost $750,000.
Yeah, and then you got to add is the salary that they're going to have to pay that person for the prorated amount.
Right, but I don't think McCotter is going to get his. So
yeah,
but yeah, they're going to have to pay a new person, but McCotter won't get his. So, and of course, Election officials said that they would prefer to time it with the August 7th primary because that's got to happen everywhere in Michigan. There's a primary. And I hope you're registered to vote for that, folks. Remember, you can get an absentee ballot right now if you're 65 or older, or is it 60 or older? Whatever it is, old people, I think 65 or older. I'm one of them. Okay. No insult to people 65 or older. Or you're sick, infirm, and you're pretty sure you just can't make it to the polling place on August 7th, Tuesday, August 7th, or you know you're going to be out of town.
I was just about to say, is there a stipulation in there for
And of course, they don't check, they don't investigate, so you could just say you're expecting to be out of town or something, and you can even go directly to the city clerk of Dearborn or wherever you're, you know, and vote right now, right there. Just get the ballot, fill it out. You don't have to wait for them to send it to you at home, although they'll do that if you request it either by mail. There's a form you can get from over the internet, or they can send you a form if you call them and you fill it out and then send it back, and then they send you the ballot and then you send the ballot back. Often it's just easier for me if I'm going to be out of town, or again, I'm of that age, so I can just go in and vote anytime directly at the city clerk's office, and there's usually no waiting and no line, and just get it done with anytime before Election Day, if you want to. And I'm just saying, don't forget to vote. Very few people do, like 20% or less, vote in the August primary, for example. That's terrible. That's awful. That's a shame. A lot of the people in Democrat and Republican parties, the person who's going to be on the November ballot is actually chosen by you, the voter, on that day in that election. So for Pete's sake, get out there and vote. Don't let somebody, and you have so much power because 80% of the registered voters aren't going to vote probably. So what power you have, your vote is worth like four or five times as much. And it's always worth one vote, which is, I think, should be good enough. But my golly, don't miss out the opportunity to vote. Educate yourself. Find out what's going on. I know the ballot proposal issue is whether or not to support with a millage in the Tri-County area Detroit Institute of Arts.
Yeah, the DIA.
DIA, right. They're in bad shape. If they don't get this, their budget's going to be cut, their staff will be cut, their hours will be limited, the admission price will go up, and they believe eventually they'll have to close without addition. You know, because part of the money comes from Detroit, and you know how well off Detroit is.
Yeah.
Now, and what would this give you? Guess what? Right now you have to pay admission. If you're not a contributing member already, if you give them... I think a minimum is $600. I think it's $65 a year if you're a senior, or $90 or so if you're not, to become a member and get free admission anytime you want. But if you vote for this, and if it passes, if a majority of people in Wayne, Oakland, Macomb County, if that passes, then everybody will be taxed through their counties an additional $60 to $75 a year.
Does that mean everybody will
and then
get in
everybody
free?
Gets in free. And I don't know if it's just in those counties, if you get an ID card sent or they check your driver's license to see where you're, you know, where you live. But nonetheless, supposedly everybody that votes for it, every family, if that passes, will get in free. And it's a wonderful resource. If you haven't been down recently, they've expanded. They had a 10-year building campaign, and they raised millions and millions and millions from, you know, people in the area and all kinds of foundations.
Yeah, the Detroit Film Theater's there. Wonderful
right.
place.
Yeah, and so they're having a lot of activities. They'll have a lot more. We need to support that as a significant cultural resource in the Midtown area and Wayne State Midtown area. And I can't tell you how to vote because actually non-commercial stations cannot tell you how to vote. I'm just saying it's an important thing to decide on and to vote. I can tell you that, you know, okay, civic duty and all that stuff. Well, so what about McConnell? Okay, because when McConnell actually said he retires, the election to replace him has to be within like 5 or 6 weeks. So they can't wait. They can't wait for August 7th, according to the law. And it's interesting to me that, first of all, since it's going to cost the state of Michigan, all the taxpayers in the state of Michigan and Dearborn Heights election officials you know, at least $650,000 for somebody who's only going to serve 5 or 6 weeks at most. And because November, there's another election.
And then they're going to have to turn around and spend that much money again after the election to print out all the ballots again for the new person, right? Is that how it's going to work?
Well, the new person, the person to replace McOtter, is only going to be there 5 or 6 weeks until
the term ends. Yeah.
But when the term ends, whoever gets elected in November, now it could be the same person. Maybe that person will have their name, who wins, will have their name on the November ballot too. But they got to go through another election again. And then whoever wins the November election for that district, and it's a new district, it's not the 12th, it's the 11th, whatever. It's they changed the gerrymandered the Republican Congress, redrew the lines. And it's still pretty much Dearborn Heights, but it's slightly different. And it's renumbered, it's a mess. Well, this is interesting. There is an news organization in Michigan, and their initials are MIRS, and it has nothing to do with Internal Revenue System. It's Michigan Information Resource System, or I don't know what it stands for. I don't know, but I can get through iTunes a weekly podcast, and right in Lansing. The head of the MIRS guy and two or three other of their reporters, they sit down and they talk about the news of the week for about 20 minutes. And I would feature it even on our show. I'd call them and they say, oh, yeah, you could rebroadcast it. Except they're not even as professional as we are in terms of trying to get the mic level right. And so one time one guy's yelling into the mic, and then next time they're one of the reporters, you can't hear them.
The levels are all over the
place. And then one person's mic, I can hear the whole, it's like they're in a big hallway, like the whole echo of the room. And I don't think that's real professional. It detracts from trying to listen to what they're saying. I mean, even here at WHFR, at least right now, anyway, we've got the microphones on and we got the right levels balanced, and I'm watching the meters here and so
on.
We
have a soundproof studio.
Yeah, and we don't have that echo problem here. But it's really great if you're inclined. MIRS, you can just get to iTunes Store. Remember, you can get iTunes for regular Microsoft type PCs, Intel PCs. Just download it from Apple.com. For free, and certainly all Macintoshes have iTunes Store on them. So if you just go to the iTunes Store, just type in MIRS, and you can subscribe for free to the podcast every week, and it'll automatically show up every Monday noon or so. And it's a great way to hear them talk. But they said, and their opinion was last week, oh, that election's not going to happen. The governor is not that crazy to spend $650,000 for a couple of weeks.
Well, they have to.
Well, here's the point. We've got laws, okay? And the governor did say just 2 days later, yeah, we're going to do it. We got to do it. It's the law. And that's fine. But is anybody going to dispute the governor or sue just because they don't have a representative? Somebody in Dearborn Heights is going to probably sue if this happened. Oh, you didn't follow the law. Have a special election, and we have no representative for 5 weeks.
Yeah, and it's not even a full 5 weeks because this isn't Congress.
Guess what? They have
schedule.
No rep now. Yeah. He's already quit, so they have no rep now for the next 6 weeks. And it would only be. And then what? What if the governor would have taken the middle ground, slightly illegal, waited 2 more weeks and said, we're going to do it during the primary on August 7th? What if it was just 2 weeks? He said, well, we're going to save $650,000 if we just delay it 2 weeks. Yeah. It's illegal. Is somebody going to sue from Dearborn Heights? They don't have a rep now. I think they should sue McOtter for just quitting, you know, but but it was legal for him to quit, and it's legal to have that elect. But I don't think it would have been a big deal to save $650,000 of taxpayer money from the whole state. Okay, so how much is that per person? I don't know, 10 cents each or so. I don't know, but it's
still, that's a lot of money in this economy.
Yeah, I think the governor should have just risked getting a lawsuit or something and delayed that election until August 7th and saved the $750,000. Even then, it's crazy. They might have had to reprint the ballots. I bet the ballots are already printed. They're already doing the absentee voting in that district, aren't they? That's just not possible even doing August 7th now. But he could have decided this a couple weeks ago before those ballots were printed. He can't do it now, but... Oh, my God. Well, it was interesting that MIRS people and their their reporters up there, and they look at the legislature and said, no, nobody's going to ask for that election. early. That'd be crazy to waste that money. All of them, all five of them, I think three or four. You never know how many are sitting there because they never introduce them.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, they introduce them sort of, but they never make clear how many. Anyway, not well produced, but it's a podcast, folks. Give them a break. It's not an official broadcast like the WHFR Journal. Okay. So a little bit of a to-do there. How would you feel about that? What would you say if somebody asked you your opinion on that? If I lived in Dearborn Heights, I would have said initially, wait for August 7th. That's fine with me.
Save the money.
You'll still have, I mean, it's only 2 extra weeks that you won't have a rep. You already have no rep now since I think it was early July, if not late June, when McConner said bye-bye.
And then who's to say he would have even shown up in Congress to do any work anyway?
He can resign. It's just that nobody would be there. But what?
Well, I'm saying for the new person.
I don't understand how McConner, you know, he's already got a residence in Washington, D.C. He knows the way into the building. Why wouldn't he just wait out his term? Why couldn't he? I mean, does it stop any of the fraud investigations? I guess he felt it would. I know when you're under the spotlight and those reporters, maybe like paparazzi, are hounding you day in and day out, and you know, on the street corner, trying to ambush your family. And that
every
with,
time you walk out, you get a microphone stuck in your face.
Hey, is Thaddeus really a criminal? You know, or whatever? Is he really dirty minded at home? I mean, who knows how he's being hounded? I can only imagine the worst, or the likelihood of that kind of hounding going on by the press. So I feel sorry for him and his family. But he did the wrong thing, folks. He should have just toughed it out and kept quiet, kept private, zoom in to do his job and represent, you know, even if all of his taxpayers in Dearborn Heights are mad at him, take your votes. They elected you to keep voting, you know, as best you think fit. And your conservative Republican, I'm sure the Republicans would have liked to kept a conservative Republican voting on a few more bills there for them. So you're hurting your party. You're hurting... I don't think he's going to be persona non grata in all politics, I think. Of course, I said that about Richard Nixon in the 60s, and then he came back to be run for president and get elected. So, you know, politics, very strange game. Okay, so yeah, that's what we wanted to say. But it's really, come on, Thaddeus. Come on, everybody, governor even. Let's try to save the $650,000, don't you think? Okay. Moving on. And now, well, here's a couple more opinions. We're talking about sort of national elections. Let's listen to Jim Hightower and his two commentaries for today. Again, he is a populist national commentator. He does live in Austin, Texas, by the way. And you say, oh, you keep playing his stuff, but I don't never heard of him before. Well, you can go to jimhightower.com, find out all about him. You know, they asked Ralph Nader this year, who had run as a Green Party presidential candidate back in 2000, and for example, and they asked him, I think 4 years ago, well, are you going to run again? And he said, no, but my choice would be Jim Hightower. Now Jim is up there in age, although I'm not sure he's any older than John McCain, by the way. But he is very outspoken, and he's really a man of the people, and he speaks for the people. That is the majority. So here's his two comments for today. The first one is entitled, Let's Consider the GOP's Healthcare Plan. Oh, I didn't know they had one, and I think that's the point. And the second one, sort of controversial, who needs Wall Street giants? Do we really need Wall Street big banks? I'll have some comments about that one right after we get done listening to it. So here we go. Jim Hightower, listen up, pay attention. He's got some well-expressed opinions, I think.
Here's some useful advice from an old country saying. Never try to teach table manners to a pig. It doesn't work. It'll wear you out, and it just annoys the pig. The same advice goes for anyone who thinks they can teach even a bit of common sense to the preening political ideologues who've taken over the Republican Party and the U.S. House of Representatives. As we've seen in their incessant pig-headed attacks on the new health care bill, their minds are not merely fogged up with extremist anti-government theories. Their heads are impervious to rational thought. They failed to defeat Obamacare in 2010, despite using the despicable and false scare tactic of telling people the law authorized, quote, death panels to euthanize grandma. Now, they're trying to repeal the law by getting people to swallow their hogwash that it contains, quote, a massive tax hike on the middle class. Really? No. One, it's not massive. Two, it's a payment for a direct benefit that people will receive, namely decent health care coverage. Three, very few people will have to pay the so-called tax at all. And four, many people and small businesses will get tax credits and federal assistance to offset the cost of their payments. The greatest failure of these repubs, however, is that they offer no alternative to Obamacare. During the debate on their latest attempt to repeal the law, a Democratic lawmaker asked for a copy of the GOP's health care plan so he could read it aloud to other members. Silence in the chamber. They have no plan. The Republicans' political slogan has been to repeal and replace Obama's reform. But they've since dropped the replace part, saying they can't offer an alternative until they complete the repeal. This is Jim Hightower saying, no surprise there. In fact, I doubt this bunch can walk and chew gum at the same time.
To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
J.P. Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, and the other Wall Street behemoths that dominate American banking? Who needs them? After enduring years of insatiable greed by the slick-fingered hucksters who run these gambling houses, after watching in dismay as their ineptness and avarice drain more than $19 trillion from America's household wealth since 2007 and plunged our real economy into financial crisis, after seeing them get trillions of dollars in taxpayer bailouts to save their banks and their jobs, and now, after learning that they've returned to paying multimillion dollar bonuses to themselves, we have to ask, huh? Oh, no, no, cry the banking titans. Don't even think of looking behind the curtain. Trust us, for we are essential to juicing the economy with our complex abracadabra investment schemes. In fact, however, those schemes just move money around, siphoning real investment capital from the grassroots up to super-rich global profiteers. Shell games at carnival sideshows are more honest than big bank trading houses, for the hustles of J.P. Morgan, Goldman, BOA, etc. are based on financial illusions, off-the-books accounting, illegally leveraged borrowing, ridiculous tax subsidies, and hide-the-pea secrecy. This is Jim Hightower saying, the obvious truth is that these high-flying, high-tech, high-speed emporiums of high finance serve themselves, not us. So we have no obligation or need to keep serving them. Of course we need banks to lend to us consumers and our productive businesses, to handle our commercial transactions, to manage our savings and provide financial advice, etc. But that's not what the Leviathans of Wall Street do. So, rather than protecting them, let's decentralize America's capital, reinvesting our public trust in community banks and credit unions that actually serve it and deserve it.
Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, hightowerlowdown.org.
And, it just certainly makes you wonder. They say, you know, I thought we never wanted like an auto company or a bank after 2008 to be too big to fail. In other words, that the government has to run in and save them from their own illegalities or their own stupidity. I mean, it is capitalism. If you do bad things, you should be punished for it in the marketplace. Okay? I mean, that's the way to go. Wait, I can't hear you because I switched your mic.
Yeah, they're bigger now than they were back then.
Yeah, yeah. And remember, they started making profits thanks to government no-interest loans and support of that $700 billion, which... Yeah, okay. That started under Bush at the end. It was Bush that did that, but yeah, the Democrats did sort of agree and let it happen because all of the people that knew anything about what the heck it meant, you know, all of the economic advisors, Democrat and Republican, agreed, we got to do it or they're going to go belly up and they're too big to fail. And
martial law in the streets.
Well, you know, I'm not so sure that would have been the consequence. Yeah. I think a lot of little banks would have been very happy to get the new money coming in. But
Iceland's doing pretty good.
Yeah. But they needed some help, too. The whole country was going to go belly up in Iceland. But our problem, it turns out now, is due to conspiracies to commit fraud against all the rest of us at the biggest banks in the world. You probably heard about the Barclays Bank fraud. Now, Barclays has their headquarters in England, but they're in the U.S. In fact, I happen to have one of my many credit cards, just in case I need to use it, is a Barclays card. And of course, a lot of people have Chase cards. Amazon.com uses a Chase card. And
HSBC, I think, was another one.
Yes. Yeah. Well, yeah, the HSBC fraud, and this is national news, folks, but I'll bring it down to local level for you in just a second. First of all, the Barclays scandal was about LIBOR, L-I-B-O-R, which is the London sort of investment banking rate. It's the rate that the banks borrow money from between themselves. And if they artificially state it too high or too low, I mean artificially, not based on anything but their own selfishness, they can make profits that skim from us, from everybody that's using the banks in a legal way.
And these are astronomical profits.
Yeah. Well, Barclays already had to settle a fine, I think, to the British government of $450 million, half a billion, they've already paid in fines. And their chief CEO has already quit. And I think I said last week, good for him. He's not going to take a golden parachute of, you know, which means a sort of a guarantee that when you retire or when you leave for any reason, even if it was criminality, you're still going to get, millions or hundreds of millions because you're such a good guy. In order to hire you, we're giving you this golden parachute when you have to bail out. I think that's a really bad metaphor. A parachute you use only in emergencies when you have to bail out because your life is threatened. And and that's what they call it, golden parachute, you know. And this guy's financial life is threatened. I think he should go to prison. But, he said, I didn't really know because, the person at the top, if you don't know, it's your fault.
The ignorance of the law is no excuse for the little guy, so it should apply to the big guy.
Maybe that's Jim Hightower's point, too, from Who Needs Wall Street Giants. If the company's so big that the guy at the top doesn't know what's happening, well, then you got to have a bunch of smaller companies. Just if the guy at the top really doesn't know whether the people below you are being criminals or not, then you got to get rid of that size institution. That's
or
my
get
feeling.
Somebody that does
or get
know.
Somebody who's smart enough to find a way to keep in touch. So that's no excuse to me. In fact, after World War II, a lot of people were prosecuted in a big trial. What was it called?
Nuremberg trials
for being Nazis and not really knowing what was happening in those concentration camps.
Oh, I didn't know.
A couple million people were being killed. I didn't know that. I didn't know they were being experimented on or tortured to death or, tortured in factories working for us for no pay. I didn't know that. They were found guilty.
Yeah, those guys were.
So their ignorance is no excuse when it's so obvious what's happening to the system. Just because your job doesn't directly immediately connect doesn't mean you can't see as a human being what's going on. Or what was the other excuse they used? I was just following orders.
Yeah,
I killed them because somebody told me to flip the switch. Well,
I killed a million
people
because you told me to.
Even if it's in war and it's a military commander, your sergeant or whoever telling the private to do this, if you do it and you're killing people inappropriately who are no threat to you, you're guilty, according to the Hague Tribunal. Nuremberg.
Nuremberg, yeah.
Not the Hague. Well, it was at the Hague. I think that's the location. But Nuremberg Tribunal clearly said that. And I agree with that. I think you always carry your conscience with you, and you should not do things just because other people tell you to. You should have your own rationale and agree with the ethics, the legitimacy, the humanity of what they've told you to do. Otherwise, it's your responsibility as a human being, I think, and a citizen of the planet, not do it. Refuse. Run away if you have to. I think President Obama actually brought this up a week ago in some other context, but, humans are fragile beings, and we're not on this planet very long. So we got to be careful, and we've got to do the right thing at all times. We don't have that much chance to be good. you know, and to really rise above all the negative things. We've got to be as good as we can all the time, which means making good choices based on what we really believe and know are the best choices. What you going to do? Here's the local spin on it. Okay, Barclays, apparently the scandal now in terms of, you might say, price fixing, setting these interest rates to benefit themselves on their transactions among themselves. Yes, it does trickle down to hurt us, to take money away from those of us who are getting almost no interest at all, even though we got $10,000 or $20,000 or more in the bank. We're hurting so much because, the market, and they're making profits hand and fist,
hundreds
and even more than they
billion.
Should.
Yeah,
even
hundreds of billions.
Yeah, illegally at the top because of these transactions, this LIBOR stuff, okay? And it's spread now. It's clearly identified in the news yesterday to at least a dozen other banks, even in the U.S., and the only one I heard mentioned was Citibank, as it used to be known. And it's probably the other major banks, even Chase probably. Now, Chase, of course, had a bad investment. This was a couple months ago, and now that investment is, it's almost $1 billion they lost.
Is that the derivatives trading?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they first of all thought it was only $200 million or $300 million, and now they discover, because they don't add very well.
Yeah.
You know, they're only bankers. They only have computers to, but now, it's $650 million or more. $650 million, not $650,000 like the state of Michigan is losing on this election. Okay, $650,000. So it's still growing. And the president said, well, you know, I didn't know anything about it. And, gee, I'm real sorry. But the bank is still making money. Well, of course it's still making money. Now we find out they're probably, and I'm not saying for sure because I didn't see the list of the other 11 banks, outside of Barclays that were involved in the LIBOR scandal here. They probably are because they're the biggest. I think Chase is the biggest in the U.S., actually. And then there's HSBC and what came out about them.
Oh, wow. That's a big one.
Yeah. Well, it turns out, and it's not, it's pretty direct connection here, folks, is that they've been laundering money. In other words, they've been taking money that's gotten illegally from terrorist groups.
And Mexican drug cartels.
And making it look good and clean so they can spend it again without any trace to where it came from. In other words, they weren't asking for proper verification about where these millions of dollars of cash come from. And, they've been found out now, and I hope they're shut down. I don't know what's going to happen to HSBC. What can you do locally? Okay, finally, I get there. What can you do locally? Well, as Jim Hightower has said on some of his editorials in the past here, and Green America, which is a nonprofit nationally, greenamerica.com, even though it's .com, it could be .org, okay? Just Google Green America. They have a whole campaign to take your money out of the big banks.
Put it in credit unions, right?
Credit unions or small local banks, okay? Don't use these credit cards at big high interest rates from these banks that are exploiting us. It's the only way we can really show them that they're doing the wrong things for us is to not support them. You know, it's the power of the marketplace, of individual choice in a democracy. And you say, well, that won't mean anything if I move my couple $100s. Yes, it will if everybody does,
yeah.
Or if a lot of people do. They'll notice. Okay, and you could even send them a nasty letter explaining, too, if you want to, while you're closing your accounts. I am a big supporter of credit unions, and I think I can say that because I have my money right now in one in Dearborn, and they are organized and tax-sheltered nonprofits, and they are well-run, well-managed, and they're government-insured. Different system,
FDIC.
But FDIC, well, it's something like the FDIC,
though.
But it is a government insurance up to certain amounts, just like your money would get in a bank. And the interest rates aren't much better, I'm sorry to say. And that still boggles my mind why that's true. At least you wouldn't be part of these scandals and the system that is just so, so deadly to our whole economy.
Yeah, supporting terrorism and Mexican drug cartels.
And
skimming
money off the top for themselves that's illegal. It's not just, that's the way you do business.
No.
It's illegal, folks, okay? And it takes years to find out because the paperwork, you know, folding money under money into money in and out, different accounts, different. It takes years to track this down.
That's why we need to audit the Fed. Firm believer.
Well, even our Federal Reserve System is partially guilty of covering this up, because the Fed in our country, the Federal Reserve System, is allowed to do things secretly.
Yeah, it's a private business. It's not. Just because it says Federal Reserve,
It's not a National Bank of America, okay? It's not. We do not have a National Bank. That was an argument many years ago that the forefathers, Jefferson and who was it? Hamilton?
Lincoln?
No, way before that. This is just years after the adoption of the Constitution. They were still arguing whether or not to have a National Bank. And we don't in the U.S. But later, I think after the turn of the century, we decided we'd need a Federal Reserve System to help support banks that got in trouble and so on. But they made it so that it's like doing secret stuff. And even Congress doesn't know some of the things they've done. And a few of the things that's been revealed in the limited investigations since 2008, it's scandalous. So Ron Paul is on target. He has a book. Ron Paul is the congressman, and Rand Paul, his son, is senator from Kentucky. Read Ron Paul's book and the Fed. Right now, this week, today, they're trying to pass the law to audit the Fed, which I'm all for transparency here. Ooh, some banker secrets will come out, and they'll look bad. Good.
Yeah.
Just like the super PACs. I want to know who's sponsoring all of these lying super PAC political ads. Because it's not the public. It's not donations from the general public. It's not the candidate. You ever hear the candidates at the end of some of these saying, I endorse this ad? Well, if they do, it means it comes from their money.
Yeah.
But the super PACs don't have anybody endorsing it. Except some group like, and I'm just making up a name, Americans for the Good of Us All or something. Who the heck are they?
And you can bet they're not for the good of us all.
Well, they may or may not be, but I just want to know who actually are. They're usually one, two, or less than a dozen extremely rich people, because if they're not extremely rich, they can't afford to do a TV ad. Okay, it's just that simple. So, and do we really want to believe only four or five people, whether they're rich or not? If we do, I still want to know who they are. Okay, I still want to know where they're coming from and what axe they have to grind and what advantage that electing that certain person might give them.
Yeah.
Because that's self-interest. That undercuts their statement.
Yeah, they're going to get appointed somewhere down the line, probably.
No one, including myself, is totally objective. You know, we all have biases or idiosyncrasies, and I try to admit mine up front most of the time, even over the air, and you can decide as you want to, of course, once you know those. Once you're aware of those, you can take what I say as God's truth or not, because it's not God's truth. It's just I sort of think it might be true sometimes on something. So you can do a lot to help out the banking crises that are always coming up here by taking your money out of the big banks. Don't support the big banks. And go to Green America. On the internet, you can look up all kinds of information about their what's just one of their many campaigns to Green America. Okay, segue. We've only got about 7 or 8 minutes left on the journal. Some big topics came up here. Next week on the journal, we're going to be talking about the Going Green Foundation and a special afternoon, Green Alternatives for Daily Living at Homecoming, Saturday, August 4th, from 1 to 4 p.m. on Ford Field Park at the top of the hill. There's going to be a lot of vendors, a lot of people talking about going green in Dearborn. And our special guests next week are going to be Maureen McElrath. And she has a show supposedly on Comcast, locally
going
produced.
Going
Green with Maureen. Great title, of course. Spinning off her name there. I'm sorry, I haven't seen that, Maureen, but... maybe I'll be able to next week. She has an organization, the goinggreenfoundation.org. You can look that up on the website. And Dave Norwood, the Going Green guy in Dearborn, he's the director of sustainability in the city of Dearborn. He's going to be here with us to talk about that first annual Green Alternatives for Daily Living, just 3 hours on Saturday afternoon, August 4th at Ford Field. Of course, WHFR is going to be broadcasting all 3 days live from our tent, and we'll be there 10 hours a day at Ford Field, just south of the bridge going into Ford Field. right across from the carnival, as we have the last several years. So we'll see you out there for sure. And in fact, our journal show on Friday, August the 3rd, in 2 weeks from today. We're going to be out there having fun in the sun.
Yeah, boy, I sure hope it ain't 104 degrees or
well, I'm going to be in the shade wherever that is. I hope the mic cords get me to the shade. What else? Oh, I just did the story about that. But you have another story there, don't you? What's happening starting today for the next month?
Hey, five things everybody should know about Ramadan, which starts today. Number one, Ramadan is recognized to be the month in which the first verses of the Holy Quran were revealed to the Islamic prophet Muhammad. Number two, throughout this month, Muslims do not eat or drink anything from sunrise to sunset. Number three, when Muslims break their fast, it's called iftar. Number four, family bonding time is cherished and looked forward to in the month of Ramadan. So everybody's busy schedules are put on hold. They gather around the table to, you know, share important things amongst the family around their first meal of the day. Number five, and I apologize if I'm saying it wrong, I'll spell it, but I think it's Eid al-Fitr. It's spelled E-I-D, so that one I'm not sure of, but nonetheless, it's the day that follows the last day of Ramadan, and it is the Muslim holiday that is celebrated after new moon is sighted. So those are five things people should know about Ramadan, which starts today and lasts for 30 days.
And we have a lot of people. We have a lot of people that do follow that strictly. You might say, well, why don't they pick a better time of year when the times the sun is up is less? Well, actually, it does keep changing. Ramadan, because of the way they calculate it, and don't get me into the astronomy of it, but I remember, you know, 4 or 5 years ago that it was around Christmas time.
That's what I always thought.
And but it's not. It keeps changing, and actually it's sort of creeping up. Like 2 or 3 weeks earlier each year, it seems to me.
And it follows the moon cycle, doesn't it? Or something
yes.
like that.
Yes, well, as they said, after the sighting of the new moon or something, it begins. But they're also on a different sort of calendar year that seems to be a little bit less than a year of our time, less than 365 days. And so it balances out. So right now, at the longest days of the year, or almost the longest was June 22nd, I guess, in terms of sunlight, they got to go quite a few hours without eating.
Or drinking.
Right. It's interesting, too, that there's other little traditions, is that when you're breaking the fast, that I guess Muhammad used to do it with a certain kind of date.
Yeah, he'd eat dates when they broke the fast. And so now most people, they take their first bite from the day with a fresh or a dry date. And that is preferred.
Fresh fruit, always in favor of that.
Following the Prophet Muhammad, what he used to do. But if they can't, then they say water is a second good choice.
Yeah, because after a fast of any length, you've got to get your system, you might say, lubricated. And you should still be drinking water. I'm not sure they can't drink water during the day.
Yeah, it says they can't eat or drink during
I think that's someone
that
understands.
Dedication.
They say you can go for like 2 or 3 days without water. I think after a week without water or food, you're going to die. But
well, they can eat and drink after the sun sets.
Right. Yeah. And there's various health rules about fasting, by the way, and check with your doctor. It's actually a healthy thing to do in limited periods, like maybe for a day or so, to sort of cleanse your system. Some people in bad health, check with your doctor. You know, you don't want to try it because you need sustenance, or your blood sugar levels have to be kept balanced throughout the day if you're on medication. So, I mean, but that's not bad for everybody to do every now and then, by the way, just in case you might think, oh, that's not healthy. It's not unhealthy, and it's actually recommended by some health practitioners, some medical doctors, to have people do it monthly for a day or two, actually day and night, but always drinking water. I know that's always pretty important, even if you're fasting, but don't do it without medical supervision. And of course, I'm sure the community is well aware of, among their own families, the safest way to do that. And it's a very respectful thing, because it's not just the not eating food thing. It's they're supposed to, during the day when they're not eating food, actually be extremely compassionate.
Yeah,
you don't use any banned language.
They're supposed to refrain from any sort of backbiting, gossip, looking at unlawful things, using obscene words. And fasting itself is supposed to teach self-discipline, patience, and spirituality, which I certainly can see that it would take a lot of self-discipline to do that.
Right. That's that question. Do you have the personal discipline to not eat for that period of time? I mean, your body says eat, and you say, no, I'm trying to see if I can control my deep urges, although that's a important deep urge to eat, but it is something that you can practice self-discipline on. Of course, I would say, like all these holiday and religious observances, folks, we should be this way, not about the food thing, but we should be this way, nice to each other, yeah. Compassionate, not use bad language all the time. I don't care what Snooki's doing. You know, we should not be that way all the time. It shouldn't require Ramadan, but it does get people's attention, you know, for those people who are not as disciplined that they have the community support to try that better life. And I would hope it wouldn't stop at the end of Ramadan.
Compassion's a pretty important
thing. Same thing, you know, Valentine's Day. Oh, I love you. You love me.
That should be a year-round thing.
February 15th should be the same way. And the 16th, just like Christmas. You know, we remember each other and we give you presents and our love and family and all that. All these good things should never stop. I know you can't keep buying Christmas gifts every day.
But you can do acts of kindness for people.
Absolutely, yeah. But it does take moments like this in all the various religions that I know of that have big ceremonies like this to bring the attention of the community to it. And hopefully there'll be significant continuation of all the good things. And we wish the best wishes, if that's what you should do, to our friends in the Muslim community of Dearborn and
Southeast Michigan.
Southeast Michigan, yeah. Southwest?
I thought you were going to say Southwest at first.
We're in Southwest Detroit, but of course there's Muslims all over Michigan and throughout the United States and the world. And so we wish the best to all of them in this special religious practice, observance of theirs.
Absolutely.
Ramadan. Okay. Quick stories. It is 2:00. It is technically the end. We're waiting for Joanne Korchinska to arrive to start Highway 61, which will be beginning in just a few moments. Let's see if there's anything else. So, can you open? I'll open. I'm grabbing it here. Times Herald. Things to do this weekend, folks. Roar on the River, Elizabeth Park in Trenton. It's sort of a city festival of theirs, and water-related activities, some boat races and things. Sounds like a lot of fun. Elizabeth Park is sort of the city park you can get to. Is it off of 4th Street or Jefferson or something down there in Trenton? And there's an ad in Press and Guide July 18th about it somewhere. They've had ads here. And so that's their big sort of like Dearborn Homecoming, but they call it Roar on the River this year. It's at Elizabeth Park all day long. Starts today. Runs through Sunday. Greenfield Village, the Henry Ford, right here in Dearborn, they're having what's called a ragtime street fair through Sunday. Okay, ragtime street fair. So a lot more vendors, sort of an outdoor sort of, I don't know, I can't say it's a carnival because you expect rides. They do have rides. You know, they got a carnival Ferris wheel. They got the thing going round. Help me, Kevin. The horse is going up and down. Carousel.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sorry about that.
I'll get there eventually, folks. And then, of course, Dearborn has two different music performances outdoors, City Concert Cities.